never apologize, never explain. Inspector Carlyle, Novel 2. Written by James Craig and read by Joe Jameson.
Chapter 1. Finding himself once again locked out of the Parker House hostel, Walter Punusamy, the drunk known as Dog, walked round the corner into Drury Lane and headed north. His destination was the warren of streets around the British Museum. A tourist magnet, the area boasted plenty of all-you-can-eat restaurants, so the pickings were usually good. Big Ben could just be heard chiming 1 o'clock as Dog turned into Great Russell Street. At this time of night, the street was empty, just the way he liked it. He eyed the black refuse sacks that had been left out on the pavement, waiting for collection by Camden's heroic bin men. The morning's first collection truck would be along at around 7 a.m. By then, most of the sacks would have been opened and the rubbish strewn up and down the street. Dog knew from bitter experience that it was the early dosser that got the leftovers. Hunger was poking through his inebriation, and he had to get in quick before the competition for the street buffet, the dossers from Tottenham Court Road and Russell Square, turned up. Now was the prime time to forage for leftover food, clothes, and whatever other useful bits and pieces the locals had thrown away. After considering various options, Dog stepped up to a collection of refuse sacks piled by a street lamp on the east side of the street, outside an Indian restaurant called Sitare. Pulling a Stanley knife out of his jacket pocket, he bent down and carefully slit open the nearest bag. A couple of minutes of careful rummaging yielded some decent leftovers, lamb shami and chicken masala, as well as a couple of peshwari naan. As a meal, it was better than anything that he would have got at the hostel, and would go perfectly with the remains of the 2-litre bottle of diamond white cider that he'd saved from earlier in the day. Checking up and down the road to make sure that no one had spied upon his good fortune, Dog gave a silent prayer of thanks for the city's endless bounty, before retreating into the darkness of a nearby alleyway at the rear of a huge block of mansion flats, to set about his feast. Chapter 2. Still dressed, unable to sleep, Agatha Mills stood at her living room window and gazed out at the floodlit splendour of the British Museum. The view was the best thing about the flat, especially at night. She often spent time contemplating its Ionic columns and the sculptures on the pediment over the main entrance, depicting the progress of civilization. Progress indeed, Agatha thought sadly, shaking her head. This view had been the thing that had made her fall in love with the flat when they had first seen it, almost 40 years ago. She had badgered Henry to pay the asking price immediately, even though they couldn't afford it. He had been very grumpy about it at the time, something that still made her smile, even now. Over the years, however, as it became clear that the flat was the one sound financial investment they'd made in their entire lives, her husband had relented and graciously accepted that she had been right. For Agatha, however, their joy in Great Russell Street had always been tinged with sadness. From that first visit, she had dreamed of taking her own children down the stairs, across the road, and into the museum. She had daydreamed of picnics in the courtyard, lost afternoons spent among the Egyptian mummies or the Roman treasures. If, at the time, she had known that there would be no children, she would have felt utterly crushed. Even now, there was a sharp stab of regret that she knew would never go away. However, a stoical pragmatism ruled the Mills household. You have to live with your regrets, and they had done so. Life went on. They had found other things to occupy their time and their emotions. Sometimes she wondered if Henry was as disappointed as she was, being a man after all, but ultimately that didn't matter. They weren't having some kind of competition to see who could wear more of their heart on their sleeve. She thought of him now, asleep in their double bed, and smiled. He was a good man who had taken on her struggles and made them his own. Over the years she had realised that he was a truly remarkable companion, and she was lucky to have him.